This is episode 367. My name is Vidal, and this is The Journey, a conversation on leadership, culture, and creativity. I want to thank you guys for subscribing to our podcast. If you have done that, thank you. Whether it's iTunes or Podbean, that's P-O-D-B-E-A-N. And those are kind of the sources that we utilize to convey this message, to bring it to you on a daily basis, weekend basis, whatever the case may be. And if you are gracious enough, would you also give us a review that will help us to get this conversation even, I guess, more public, more into our social media venues, whether it's Twitter or maybe Facebook and even Instagram. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for engaging with us over some of the topics that we consider extremely important and what's happening today in today's culture, in today's world. One more recommendation is that you will listen to the podcast on a 1.5 speed versus just a regular speed. I don't know if your device gives you that option, but that will be a suggestion because besides the fact that it's going to go faster, I believe the quality improves. This is just my bias and my take. So anyways, if you have a chance to do that, that will also help us. The last thing that I want to say to you is, because many of you know, I am a pastor. I'm the pastor of at First Baptist Church in the beautiful city of Far. And that implies that I get the privilege to speak on a weekly basis, almost on a weekly basis. And my opportunity to convey the Bible, to convey the gospel, is also recorded. And we also post it at the same website, vidalmuniz.com. So every conversation that we have throughout the week is kind of a follow-up over some of the things that we said on Sunday. Now, if you don't come to church with us, if you are somewhere around the world, you obviously don't have the opportunity to listen or to witness what we say on a weekend basis. But still, if you go back into the website and you look at our feed over what happened over this weekend, episode 365 is exactly what we spoke about on Resurrection Sunday, because obviously that was this past weekend with Easter celebration. And if you have or you are bilingual and you also want to hear our conversations in the beautiful language of Spanish, in this case is episode 366, where you can find the same thing that we said on Sunday, but you're going to hear that in Spanish. So 365 is the English version, and then 366 is also the Spanish version. Some of you may notice my voice still, I'm still recovering from the weekend. I get to speak three times in about 4 hours. We do three services, and my voice takes a toll every weekend. And for some reason, this weekend was a little different. I guess part of it is because I was coming from about 5 days being up in East Texas with my beautiful daughter and my wife, and we were celebrating some things that she's going through in college, but it was just a different week. And then obviously just landed here in the valley on Thursday afternoon, and literally hit the floor running with everything that was taking place for the weekend. And the beautiful thing about South Texas, that's where we are, we're in the beautiful city of Far, is that South Texas still has and had and has that feeling, that kind of a experience when it comes to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, which I loved it. So again, we were so blessed this weekend by simply seeing tons of people, brand new faces. I had the privilege to speak and to preach the gospel three times, and that's always a win, and that's always one of the highlights of my life and my weekend, because I love to speak the Bible. But one of the things that I need to remind myself and others is that I had the privilege to do baby dedications. I know that typically doesn't happen on Easter, but on Resurrection Sunday, but for me, it was just beautiful. And yet, that experience also created a little bit of a mixed emotion, because I just couldn't help it but start processing through the weekend, through the baby dedications, through everything that happened, that this younger generation, I mean, I held, I met, I took pictures with beautiful newborns, and I'm thinking to my, in my head, I'm just thinking and processing this, where this beautiful generation has been born in a very different context and worldview than my generation 40 plus years ago. I'm not saying that they're better. I'm not saying that my generation was better. All that I'm saying is that it's very, very different. How do I know this? Well, again, obvious reasons, social media, technology has shrunk the world, that we get instant access to pretty much everything or anything that happens, but specifically when it comes to some of the most tragic events which actually took place this weekend in the island of Sri Lanka. And I'm speaking of the tragedy of the terrorist attacks that even as I speak, they've still been investigating. There's new information coming up. And again, I don't know if you guys follow, it's pretty obvious you know what I'm talking about because this is one of those islands, country island in South Asia. It is located in the Indian Ocean. And I mean, it's for what I understand, it's a country that is primarily Buddhist. That's their religion, the word, the kind of the community religion. And yet, in spite of, regardless of how this took place, and I mean, again, if you follow the news, they targeted, you know, some of these places where the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus was taking place, which is no irony. It's been confirmed, apparently, based on the news, that there is terrorist attacks behind this, in a sense of terrorism, connected to some Islamic movement. And this is not a podcast where we are going to dissect nor deal with politics and governmental decisions and how things are embraced or confronted. But here's what I will tell you. Coming back to the baby dedications, coming back to the celebration of Easter, resurrection of Jesus, and specifically this new generation facing this reality. I mean, this is a tangible, crucial reality in our world today. The challenge that I see, besides the actual killing and murdering of people, is the fact that this is a theological warfare. This is a deal where the driving force of these terrorist attacks are beyond politics and beyond nationalism, is beyond ethnicity. This is at the core is the perspective of what this people, this worldview has to do with who God is. So again, I want you to think about for a second because again, it is no accident that for us, for me, coming from an amazing and the biggest weekend, the biggest celebration for us, it has to do with the resurrection of Jesus. And when it comes to Jesus, there is a distinctive, there's many distinctives, but one of the main distinctives of Jesus is exactly how he did life, how he went about while he was on earth, which for us is exactly the foundation of what we believe. And specifically, if I want to be very specific, you know, praying and thinking about the families affected radically and I will say irreversibly affected by these attacks over the weekend, is exactly the role that the church plays and also the role that the government plays. So for us as Christians, the role of the church and the state is based on the person and the character of Jesus. Meaning, here's what I mean by that. Again, because I'm coming from this theological view of how these radical groups are functioning and operating in the world. So for us, this is a conversation that is a must because if you look at the person of Jesus, he definitely is going to honor and reaffirm the biblical view, the whole concept of the role of the government and the state. In this case, we believe based on the scriptures, we believe on what Jesus said and how he went about that the government has the role of protecting and improving the quality of life through the sword. It's a way to manage evil, it's a way to control, it's a way to protect. And most of the time, if we're honest, is to protect ourselves from ourselves. Because as you know, as you can look at the news, tragically, most, if not all, but most of the pain and suffering in this world, in our generation, is self-inflicted. So that's the role that we believe the state and the government has. So for this specific country over the weekend, their governmental, their law enforcement system has been put to the test on how they will continue to protect the lives of their citizens. The other component about Jesus and how Jesus went about is exactly the role of the church. Again, apparently based on the news, the people that were targeted were places, the locations where the church gathered to celebrate Jesus. And this is the component that I have to say, that what is the role of the church in the context, in the midst of what is going on? Well, again, for the government, we believe that the sword was given. So law enforcement is something that God has instituted, has placed. And we think, I mean, in this beautiful country of ours, we are eternally grateful for our law enforcement, for our military, for first responders. I mean, we are blessed. I mean, the fact that I do have a daughter that is about 10 hours from me, and to know that if ever she needed the help, she can dial 911 It's a blessing. We're blessed, and we thank the Lord for that. Yet, for the church, the role is, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 16, that we were given, the church was given, the keys of the kingdom. I don't have time to dissect all that it implies, but all that I'm telling you is evangelism. Is evangelism is the conveying of the kingdom of God, where we proclaim that we've been given the keys of the kingdom. And as important as the kingdom is, as important as these keys are and how we steward and manage those keys, I'm here to tell you that Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, is about the king. Is about who that king is, how he rules over this kingdom. So if you were with us on Sunday, this is what I want you to come back into Philippians chapter 2. This is the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, because through the words of Paul, which is a guy that is exactly in the dichotomy and the unresolved tension of submission to a government, a foreign government, an oppressing government. This is the season of life for the people of God to be under the oppression of the Romans. He is incarcerated in a system that is broken, in a system that does not honor God, like many systems, like many countries, and obviously the United States is no exception to that. The question is, how do you navigate that? How do you do life as a Christian with a kingdom worldview in a situation, in a context that is not very conducive for that? How do you process the roles of government and state in a situation like this? Well, Philippians chapter 2, coming back to the king, to Jesus, Paul says, who, talking about the king, talking about Jesus, being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So again, I'm not going to repeat everything that I said on Sunday, but here is what I will remind ourselves on a morning like this, is that we must remember that everything that we do as government, everything that we do as church or churches, it has to be based on the character and the person of the king. In other words, part of the implications of Jesus being the king over everything, the resurrected king, the resurrection of Jesus, it implies that we follow who he is and what he has done. So in this case for us, if you look at this verse 6, it basically ends by saying that he did not use his equality and his nature with God for his own advantage. So apparently, this is exactly kind of the opposite of what you see happening over the weekend through the tragedy of this terrorist attacks. It's the concept that we exist to proclaim the goodness and the benefit of others. If you go back in history, Jewish history, in Christian history, both, because we are tragically, we are not very different throughout historical events from a lot of this tragic incidents that we're seeing in our culture today. Is back at the beginning, Adam exactly tried to do the opposite. He tried to grasp the equality with God, and he rebelled. He tried to be like God, and the rest is history. When it comes to the church and Christianity, I mean, we have made the mistake to try to promote the kingdom of God through the venue that only belongs to the state, which is the sword. So in reality, what you see through Jesus and his meekness, his humility, that even though he was in very nature God and equality with God, he does exactly the opposite. And let me just say this, because I don't believe that Jesus either allowed for someone to bully him or to abuse him, although there is abuse involved in this, but it's abuse within the purpose of honoring God, to promoting and expanding a kingdom. So again, here's what I need you to hear me say this very, very clearly. I need to invest a podcast in this specific topic I'm about to give you, because I believe there's a confusion in today's culture, specifically Christian culture, in the idea of not using things for own advantage in a manner that we allowed abuse, we allowed bullying, we allowed a lot of detrimental situations in the name of, oh, I'm praying about it, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, and again, especially within the context of marriage, I can go on and on and on and on about the craziness of marriage, not necessarily because people are crazy, although we're crazy, but it's more because people are crazy in a sense that people allowed. I mean, it's just craziness how people allowed nonsense. So this is not what I'm talking about. I'm speaking of the meekness, the Jesus who, in being in very nature God, in equality with God, he did not consider those things to use them for his own advantage. So in this case, again, I want you to, again, just to come back to process the tragedy taking place among this group of believers that were tragically killed, the families that even as we speak today, they have to go through the lenses, through the reality of just losing loved ones. And again, what do you do? How do you reflect the kingdom of God in the context of brokenness? Well, again, when you see Jesus on chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 6, he is stripping away. He's giving up his own advantage, but instead looking for the advantage of others is basically his obedience. He chooses, he understands that he was called to obey the Father. And I believe, I'm of the mindset, based on the character of Jesus, based on the character of the guy who's writing these words from prison, is that when we see this generation of babies, going back to the baby dedication, they are born in a context of confusion and lots of pain. We as Christians, in the context of obedience, I'm going to say that again, obedience, okay? So not using things for our own advantage means obedience. We go to war. Our war is theological. Our war has to do with the perspective of who God is and what is it that Jesus said about himself, who God is through the person of Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we go to war? We go to war by preaching, by obeying, by modeling exactly verse 6. We go to war in a manner that we as parents, going back to the baby dedication, going back to the context of community, going back to single life, elderly life, whatever you might be, whatever you find yourself in the spectrum of life, chronologically, lifestyle, whatever you choose to be and do, is that the model, the goal, the win is Jesus Christ. So here's a point, because again, we're coming from Resurrection Sunday. As we go to battle, by simply obeying, by simply detaching, stripping from our own entitlement and self-gratification and advantages, is when we understand that our battle is not towards victory. Our battle, based on what happened 2,000 years ago, on that first day of the week, on that Sunday morning, is that we battle from victory. We do not obey so we can somehow accomplish or make happy some sort of a deity or God. We obey because of what he has done, because of his obedience. Why? Because 2,000 years ago on that Good Friday, he basically said, it is finished, it is accomplished. There is nothing that you have to do, that you can do to please God, to get to the point that you find yourself in that victorious stage. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. The victory in Jesus, the victory that Jesus proclaimed through his kingdom, is not a victory that makes you immune from tragedy, from brokenness, from being affected by the reality of this world. But what it means is that the work of Jesus, the 33 years of lifestyle through this world 2,000 years ago, has the ability, if you were to embrace that worldview, if you were to imitate, if you were to walk in the teachings of Jesus, is that he does have the ability to simply develop and grow in you, in me, the ability to trust him, the ability to say that he is trustworthy in spite of what is happening. So today, on a morning like this, I am praying, I'm asking the Lord to enlarge our object of our faith. Again, this is a theological warfare. The reality is that this is beyond politics. Terrorism is a tangible, everyday experience for many people around the world, most people around the world, most churches, Christian churches around the world. And for us, in this beautiful United States of America, we must come back to embrace the teachings of Paul, that this Jesus, who was in very nature God, and he did not consider equality with God, but instead he literally followed in obedience the plan, the structure, the will of the Father. May this season of post-Easter, become the place where we fall in love with this beautiful experience, beautiful character, beautiful narrative of the life of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your week and your day. And again, if you have a chance to go and visit our website, we'd love to engage in the conversation at a deeper level.